Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. A special edition of the Three Martini Lunch today. There will not be a podcast tomorrow since it is Thanksgiving Day, and we will be spending that time with our family, something we are very thankful for. But we're also going to spend the next few minutes here on Wednesday talking about some of the things that we're politically thankful for. The number one thing that I'll lead off with, Jim, especially when we saw the results of the election in 2012, I'm very thankful for the fact that there's still a GOP House. We talk from time to time about how we're frustrated with some of the leadership decisions and how there's obviously a debate within the party about the right way to go forward on certain issues. But the alternative, of course, is for the Democrats to have control of both the House and Senate, as well as the White House, like they did for the first 2 years of the Obama administration, when so much of the damage in this presidency was inflicted. And so to even contemplate being back at that point is very unnerving, to say the least. We'll see what happens with immigration. They seem to still be lured into that trap, I think, to some extent. They're definitely the last wall of defense here, especially since the Supreme Court doesn't seem to be helping out a lot much anymore either. So it's not a perfect situation. The GOP House is certainly the one light in the storm in Washington right now.
For all your flaws, House Republican majority, we're glad you're there. You know? So we're thankful for them. I was going to take kind of a bigger picture observation. One of my favorite pieces I ever wrote that dealt with Thanksgiving was written after Election Day 2008. And there are a lot of Republicans and folks on the right who were shocked and horrified by Obama's victory and really had some inkling of what was ahead. But I remember observing that, look, you know, as bad as an election can go for your party, one of the ideals of conservatism is that a philosophy, hopefully outside the realm of politics, or at the very least that recognizes there are vast swaths of your life that should be beyond politics. And so as you walk around and hopefully tomorrow you're enjoying Thanksgiving with your family, maybe you're having some debates over the Thanksgiving turkey. But you know what? You know, the Macy's Thanksgiving parade still continues. You still have a lot of schools still have their high school football games. The foliage is now coming down and ending up in your lawn and you have to rake it. But, you know, you throw around the football with your family and friends. And there is a realm to life beyond politics. And I am thankful for that, particularly when the political world gets very irritating and aggravating and makes you want to bang your head against a wall and you feel like you're Sisyphus trying to roll the boulder up the hill and it keeps falling back down. Our friends on the left for a long time had the slogan, the personal is political. And I think that's a terrible way to live your life. And that's why you have to go through and each story like, well, does the corporate owners of this store, are they donating to my candidates or against my candidates? Am I boycotting Starbucks because of this? Or am I going, you know, Caribou Coffee's owners on, you know, you keep going down the list of, you have to, you this, you know, this idea of us versus them in every aspect of your life. And it's a sure route to absolute madness and paranoia and frustration. And, you know, ultimately we are more than our politics. So Thanksgiving is a wonderful day to kind of put the partisan passions aside, except when your cousin Vinny starts talking about how great Obamacare is or something. You know, and inevitably you'll have those little conflicts. But there is a world beyond the political realm, and I'm thankful for it, and I look forward to enjoying it in the next couple of days. And ultimately, I think that's what we're trying to preserve and protect. It's not just to enact our agenda and to, you know, enact a conservative worldview upon everyone or anything. It's just that merely we love the parts of our lives that we live beyond the realm of government, beyond politics, and we want to preserve that. Ultimately, you know, conservatism begins with the concept of having something to conserve, and that is it. So I am thankful for all those parts of life that are not necessarily the types we'd necessarily come up and discuss in the Three Martini Lunch.
Amen to all of that. And I think we both appreciate the oasis we see not only around holiday time. We kind of step back for a day or two away from our normal work, but on a daily basis. When I get home and see my wife and daughter, and when your wife and your boys come home, you know, it's the greatest thing. I mean, you get frustrated.
It's a welcome respite from dealing with folks. Yes.
Exactly. Frustrated with all the policy decisions and votes that don't go your way, and just sometimes completely frustrated by the grind that is the political debate that's unceasing. To have that oasis is something to be very, very thankful for, and I certainly am, and I know you are as well. That wasn't actually one of mine, but you made such a good point, I had to comment on that. My other one is that as awkward as it is in some of the debates that conservatives had, we certainly had it over the government shutdown, and that is that conservatives and in the GOP realm in general, while it does get heated at times and that certain things are said. Conservatives and Republicans, for the most part, are free to disagree. They can air their grievances and, for the most part, come back together and work the large majority of the time in concert on the key issues of the day. Whereas in the Democratic Party, in the liberal sphere, you take one step out of the orthodoxy and you're basically anathema. You still go back to Governor Casey at the 92 convention, didn't get to speak because he was pro-life, and just the litmus test that is there at every single step of the way on the other side of the aisle. And there are certainly conservative principles that a lot of folks expect from most in the movement, and there is frustration when that isn't adhered to in all cases. But for the most part, and on the biggest issues, there's largely great agreement on where we want to go.
Excellent observation there, Greg. I think my second thing I am thankful for, having thanked the world beyond politics, I'll step back into the realm of politics, and I'll say that 2012 election is a kick in the teeth. We are cranky. We are irritated. We feel, we on the right feel kind of betrayed by the electorate because we think we made a pretty good case against President Obama and his side and the failure of liberal philosophy, that the problem of socialism is sooner or later you run out of other people's money, and that this is a big spending administration that has run up the debt, failed to create jobs, is dividing Americans into little groups and trying to play one faction against another, and failing the mission and just failing to build a better America that we all want to see. We go through, and much of 2013 has been a year of Republicans and conservatives arguing with each other, Tea Party versus the establishment, a lot of blame being thrown around, perhaps reaching the apex during the government shutdown up in October. Then all of a sudden, the government shutdown ends, and all of a sudden, attention turns to Obamacare, and Obamacare is this massive disaster. And the website doesn't work, and even if the website does get work, you get through and you have sticker shock. And they can't calculate the subsidies correctly, and people are losing their plans. And the President Obama had said, if you like your plan, you can keep your plan, period. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, period. And the failure of Obamacare is a very sad thing. It is a very frustrating thing. It is something where a lot, people are genuinely going to get hurt through this process. However, there is something reassuring about it in that it basically tells us the world works the way we think it works, right? If Obamacare had worked out perfectly, not just the website, but everybody had signed on and really liked what they were getting, then we on the right would have to reevaluate the way we think the world works. One of my bosses, John Hillen, who's the chairman of the board of National Review, was saying to me, he says, look, history is full of enough examples of a large overarching government trying to ever fine-tune and refine the daily lives of its citizens in order to build that perfect society, the new Soviet man or the great society, and one project after another. And most of the time they end in failures ranging from frustrating and or comical to absolutely disastrous. You look at the Soviet gulags and secret police and things like that. So the philosophy of ever larger government sooner or later trips on its own shoelaces, flops, and fails to solve the problems it's supposed to. And this really big, high-profile failure of Obamacare that is unfolding before our eyes has been going on for 6 weeks and is probably going to go on for the better part of this year is a big national teachable moment, to use a phrase that I'm not a big fan of. But Americans are finally seeing what big government looks like without the happy smiley face in front of it. And it's a mess, and it's terrible, and it doesn't care about you. And you could even be in the White House and be a success story touted by the president, and then later on you will get your letter from Washington State, as that poor woman did, and say, actually, you don't get the subsidy. Your premiums are going to be much, much higher than we promised, and you actually find yourself in a circumstance where you cannot afford insurance, even when you've been touted as the president as a success story of getting insurance. That is Obama's philosophy, this man and his program at its heart, which is to promise anything it takes to get you to get on board, and then once they've gotten what they wanted, i.e. the bill passed, they will forget about you. You are meaningless to them, other than as a useful tool to promote their agenda. So with all of this very clear to us, it's a very strange thing to be thankful for, but I think it's a good example of, look, now we have this giant teachable moment in which Americans will be more receptive, because you go, this isn't Syria that's happening far away. This isn't something like Benghazi that people can tune out of. This isn't like the IRS scandal that affects what most people think is a small percentage of the population. This is a giant, really, catastrophe in the policy arena that will affect tens of millions of Americans, particularly once the employer mandate kicks in. So I am thankful that the failure of liberal is now occurring on a stage that is too big to distract from or cover up or get the media to avert its eyes from. And hopefully from that, we can begin to steer the country in a better, slightly more rightward direction.
Jim, outstanding commentary there. I think that's exactly right, and hopefully more folks are paying attention, given the issue at hand and how it affects everyone. I have to assume that more and more people will be paying attention, particularly as it hits the group and employer markets next year, sadly. But my last one is born in the horrors of one of the most grisly trials that we saw in recent times, and that's the Gosnell trial in Philadelphia, the abortionist who snuffed out the life of newborns who survived attempted late-term abortions. And that's obviously not something to be thankful for. We can be thankful that he was convicted and sentenced to life in prison for those murders. But it also triggered, in a number of states nationwide, more restrictive laws protecting the unborn, particularly around the time that it is believed, at the very latest, really, that the unborn can feel pain around 20 weeks. We saw the huge fight in Texas over this and other states. We'll see how it fares in the courts. That's certainly where it's all headed, and whether these laws will be able to stand. Hopefully they will. But out of just the most deplorable, nauseating story you could possibly imagine, hopefully some good not only did happen, but will be allowed to continue to stand as well.
That is an excellent choice, Greg. And I guess, you know, longtime listeners will say, this sounds a little bit like our end of the year awards. And I'm already looking forward to that. Already thinking about that. The Thanksgiving is kind of the beginning of the last month of the year, beginning of Christmas season. You begin to think about wrapping up both presents of the year in one big bow. And I think this year is ending better than it began for a lot of us. So hopefully we will feel cheerier and all that stuff. I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving out there. Happy Black Friday. May you not get knocked over looking for a Cabbage Patch doll or whatever the hot toy of the year is. And we will see you on Friday with our special gifts for people. Right, Greg?
Yes. You're so 80s with the Cabbage Patch. I love it.
I know. I'd say, you know, I couldn't think of what Tickle Me Elmo would be, even at least in the 90s.
Yes. Yes, we all have much to be thankful for. Wonderful families, good jobs. We thank our employers. We're grateful for our families. God has been very good to both of us. Jim, I'm thankful to be able to do this every day with you. It's a great deal of fun, and I look forward to picking up with you after the holiday.
Thank you, Greg. And oh, by the way, thank you, listeners, for
absolutely,
you know, joining us each day.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We'll be back on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.